That is true. I am Jim Rome. You are in the jungle. We are live. We're in Southern California. And we are getting a lot done today. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Telephone number is toll-free nationwide and in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. We're talking NHRA and Raider football. Cruz Pedregon in studio next segment. But we start hour number two by talking Utah State basketball. We're joined by the head coach of Utah State. He is in his second season there. He has been named Conference Coach of the Year four different times. He led Utah State to a share of the Mountain West regular season title and a conference tournament title. They're out quickly. They are number 17 in the AP poll. Utah State is 3-0, and they're at home tomorrow against North Carolina A&T. We are talking to head coach Craig Smith. Craig, it's nice to have you in the jungle. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good to hear it, Coach.
Fired up to be in the jungle, baby.
Love it. Love it. That pumps me up, Craig. Really glad to hear it. I've got so much to get caught up with you on, but let me start right here. You're coming off that win over Denver. You jumped out to an 18-5 lead in the first 5 minutes. So from a coaching standpoint, how pleased were you with the way your guys started and how they handled their business?
Really excited. I mean, that was the big key to the game. They were young and inexperienced, and it's always important to get out to a good start. It's not, you know, do or die, but anytime you play a team that's inexperienced and we're playing them at home, and we got a lot of experience returning, we just felt like it was very, very important to get up on top early because now, you know, fear, worry, and doubt starts to come into play. And so when we jumped on top like that, that was a big key to the game, and we really never looked back.
Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith is my guest. Now, Craig, I had Indiana football coach Tom Allen on the show last hour. They're ranked for the first time in 25 years. You came into the season at number 17, which is the first time the program has been ranked in the preseason in nearly 50 years. So when you and the program are in a spot like this, how do you go about handling that pressure and the expectations? What is your message to your team?
You know, pressure is a privilege, and I think you got to embrace those expectations. And trust me now, a year ago when we were preseason ranked number 9 out of 11 in the Mountain West, there were no expectations. And as a coach, and I think as a player, you want those expectations. The beast not having any. And so, and that's the beauty of Utah State and Cache Valley and Logan, Utah, is we have a very passionate fan base. We have a fan base that loves Aggie basketball, and they get out and support it. One of our graduate assistants on staff, Brandon Ubell, played at Nebraska. The last 2 years, Nebraska was in the Big 12, and the first 2 years, Nebraska was in the Big 10. And like he told me after our second game when we beat Weber State, he's like, Coach, I've never been a part of a fan base that's this rabid and this passionate and this into the game. And we've had close to sellout crowds now our first two of the three games. And so that's exciting, and you want that, and you got to embrace that. You know, at the end of the day, polls are awesome. I'm not sure they mean a whole lot, but the one thing it does tell you is the level of respect that you've earned. So when you're ranked preseason number 9 out of 11, probably haven't earned a whole lot of respect. Obviously now, you know, being preseason favorites and being 17th in the country, we've earned that respect, but it doesn't mean anything. You still got to go prove it every day.
We're talking to Utah State head coach Craig Smith. I know exactly what you're talking about. When you talk about that region of the state, when you talk about the fan base, Craig, I went to UC Santa Barbara in the 80s when Utah State and UCSB were in the Big West. Man, they gave us hell every time. That was always a tough place to play. They always played hard. The fans were rabid. I know exactly what you're talking about. But explain this. Preseason polls might not mean a whole lot, but you were picked to finish 9th in the conference, as you point out, and all you did was win 28 games, a share of the regular season title, and the conference tournament. It was an amazing run. How do you explain then what you and the team did last year?
Well, it was a little bit of the perfect storm. We had an unbelievable group of guys, and we do this year as well. Certainly we have some talent. Sam Merrill is a very, very good player. He ended up being the Mountain West Conference Player of the Year. He's got a legitimate chance to be an NBA player. And he wasn't even on the NBA radar, you know, 16 months ago. And so, Namias Keita is a guy that we brought in, 6'11" from Portugal. kind of came out of nowhere, just kept improving, was the defensive player of the year, second team All-League guy, and he will be an NBA player. And then we just had a group of guys, our role guys were stars in their role. And I think that's the hardest thing to find a lot of times is guys that are all about the team, willing to do whatever it takes to win. And you find that when you have great character. And I know this sounds like coaches talk and cliche, but I don't care. If I owned my own business, if I was doing what you were doing, you have to surround yourself with great people that take accountability, that are passionate about what they do, and that are all in, you know. And when I say all in, it's like pregnancy. Either you're pregnant or you're not, right? You either have to be all in or you're not. You can't tippy-toe around it. And fortunately for us, we had a great coaching staff that's all in, had an excellent group of young men in the program that were all about it, and they didn't listen to the noise, right? They believed that we could do it, and that's all that matters. And we went on a crazy run, you know, winning, I think, 17 of our last 19 games. One of those two losses was to Washington in the NCAA tournament. And so now they have a taste. For all the things that we did, Jim, last year, we accomplished so many things in the first time in the history of a well-traditioned Utah State Aggie men's basketball program. Quite frankly, the season ended in a very bitter way. Like, our guys have a big-time chip on their shoulder right now, and we feel like we got to go out and prove something, not only to ourselves, but quite frankly, to everybody else that's out there.
Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith breaking it down. So one of the messages to the team last year was you have to set outrageous goals. When you have a year like you just had, and then you come into this season, and you've got that returning talent, and you've got the size that you have, how outrageous can you get with your goals now?
You know, it was funny last year because we always talked about our goal being to win the Mountain West Conference tournament, get to the NCAA tournament, win when we get there, and maybe we were the butt of the joke, you know, at that time, but it's always funny until you go do it. And that team did it. And now, you know, our goal is to get back there, obviously. And I think the sky's the limit. You know, we do have six returners that play quality minutes. Nimish Keita hasn't played yet this year. He had a knee injury this summer, and hopefully we'll get him back sooner than later. And obviously he's a big part of it, but we have nine new guys in our program. Three of those guys are redshirting. And so we have six other guys that we're really trying to get caught up to speed with our language and how we do things and our philosophy. And it's been fun. Clearly, we've gotten better the last 10 days. And I know this is a cliche, but truly, let's just go earn it every day, right? When you walk into your job and you're a passionate dude, you're a fiery dude, and that stuff is contagious. And I'm guessing you walk in with a little bit of an edge every day, ready to roll. And so that's got to be our mantra. Let's go prove it every day. Let's go earn respect every day. And when you do that, people forget the men's basketball season last year. Our first practice was September 28th, and our NCAA tournament game when we lost was March 22nd. So literally you're 6 days shy of a six-month season. So if you truly aim to get better every day as a team and an individual, it's amazing how far you can go.
He is the head basketball coach at Utah State. He's Craig Smith. I got to ask then, you know, when you talk about outrageous goals, to me, Craig, your journey is proof of the power of outrageous goals. As an example, you're from a small town in Marshall County, Minnesota. For those who do not know, how small is your hometown and what was life like growing up there?
Jim, you're on top of it, man. Stephen, Minnesota. Look it up. I would say Stephen, Minnesota. It's about like South Canada. So when I grew up, the population was 907. Now when I go back, it's like 596. So I graduated number two in my class. There were 18 of us.
Wow.
So I'm a salutatorian, for crying out loud, and I still couldn't be in the top 10% of my class. But it was an amazing – my parents were phenomenal. In fact, it's my dad's birthday today. He turned 72 today. I know he's listening, and I texted him. I was like, can you believe it? I get to be on the Jim Rome show today.
Happy birthday, Pops.
He knows how fired up I am about that. But had an amazing childhood. My parents taught us just to work hard, treat people right. And you know, we know the problem. You come with an excuse of, you know, well, Dad, I couldn't do this because of, or Mom, I couldn't. You know, my mom owned their own daycare for 34 years, so I was raised in a daycare. I'm the oldest of five boys. And you know, there was always like, well, we know the problem, but let's be a part of the solution. So figure out a way to get the solution right. And amazing people there. Now, when I moved to Utah, I was like, man, you guys don't no idea how lucky you are. There's no bugs, no humidity. Sun's out every day. There's no wind. You know, you can play golf every day or go up in the mountains. And they're like, well, wait till winter. And I'm like, yeah, you have no idea what winter's about if you knew where I came from. So it's been an amazing journey on our 24th year now. And this place at Utah State is a special, special place. And we're so fired up to be here.
Craig Smith joining us. I mean, I could keep doing this. I could just keep throwing you lobs for the next couple hours. I want to ask you about this, though. There's this legend, a lot of legends, but legend that when you were a senior in college, you were also a high school coach and a student teacher, and you were driving 160 miles per day. Is that really true? And if so, what was that like?
That is true. My fifth year of college, I got married to my beautiful wife, Darcy, and we've been married for 24 years now. We're going to celebrate our 20th. She's always wanted to go to Hawaii. She's never been there. So we're hoping to go to Hawaii to celebrate our 25th anniversary next year. And I know your listeners really care about that. But
I do.
Yeah, I did. I was student teaching in Hallock, Minnesota, and I was a head high school coach in Stephen, Minnesota. And I was just got married. I was living in Grand Forks. So would hop in the, you know, my 12-year-old Grand Prix or 15-year-old Grand Prix or whatever it was, and drive up there and do my student teaching and come back and see my wife at night and just keep on doing the deal. But, you know, it's, as you know, Jim, and all our, your passionate listeners, like, when you love something, you know, I feel like I've never worked a day in my life. I'm the luckiest man on earth to be able to do something that we love to do, work with great people, and it is all about who you surround yourself with. And we have a phenomenal staff, and then be able to do it with these young men. It just, they feed you fuel, right? They get you excited to go that way. And so there's been a lot of things. We've worked at NEI schools, Division II, obviously low major, mid major, high major, and all the levels. And so, you know, there were days that I was the SID. You'd call in after the game when I was an assistant at Mayville State with the box score. And I was so fired up to get one quote in the paper, you know, or you're the custodian where you're sweeping the floor and making sure the trash is clean. Or at one job I had a part-time, I paid our rent check by being I supervised a study hall for an hour and a half at Mayport High School one year. And so anyway, I could go on and on, but when you have to go do those things, I think you really appreciate everybody's that takes part in having a successful program, from the custodian to the SID to the marketing people to the academic people and everybody in between.
And then let's not lose track of the fact that this is a team that is currently number 17 in the AP poll, a team that is 3-0, and a team that won 28 games last year. The head coach at Utah State is Craig Smith, and we just talked some Utah State basketball, and it felt great. Craig, so good to have you in the jungle finally. Tell Pops I said happy birthday, and you and I will definitely do this again before the end of the season.
Awesome, Jim. I was fired up, man. I heard that music before you put me on, and it got the goosebumps going. So thanks for having me on, and go Aggies.
Go Aggies. My man, Craig Smith, that was so great. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I mean when I say to you, and I said it earlier in the show, we are not a three-topic show. There are lots of really, really good stories. Great coaches, great players, great administrators, great programs. I want to get them in here. Guy pumped me up so much. Craig Smith, fired up. How does that not fire you up? I don't care if you know nothing about him or his program. How does that not fire you up? When we come back, Cruz Pedregon in studio. Wait on that. Hey, you want to trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their pros know what it takes to get that job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. You can as well. This month is Visibility Month. Be sure to improve your visibility while driving. Save money at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by for their See Better, Drive Safer sale, where you can earn a $15 gift card after mail-in rebate. When you purchase either Sylvania headlight bulbs or Bosch Focus or Treco Titan wiper blades, the O'Reilly pros will even install your wiper blades for free. while you wait. So do not risk your safety because of poor visibility. Let the professional parts people at O'Reilly help you find you exactly what you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Come see for yourself or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Like I said, we are having a really big day today. We had Tom Allen, Indiana head football coach, and the Hoosiers are doing things they have not done in decades. He was fired up. Then we had Craig Smith, Utah State head basketball coach. They're doing things they've never done before. He was shot out of a cannon. And right now we are joined by a good friend of the program. He is a two-time NHRA Funny Car World Champion. He is the owner and driver of the Snap-on Tools Nitro Funny Car. The Auto Club NHRA Finals are November 14th through the 17th in Pomona, California. He is the fastest man in the jungle. He is in studio. He is Cruz Pedregon. Cruz, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, what is up, man? Good, great to be here. Appreciate you giving us the time.
Oh, it's good to have you back. Cruz, let me first ask you, the Raiders have won two straight. They're one back in the win column in the division. You've got the NHRA Finals in Pomona. How is life for you right now?
Life is good. You know, the fact that everybody was killing the Raiders after Coach Gruden came back and took the team over and were trading some good players. But I think I even called up to your show one time, Roman, and I was like, you know what? I just feel like you need to let this guy do his thing.
You did, man.
And, hey, is it perfect? No. I've always said if they're 9-7, 500, 8-8 at the end of the year, that's going to be a victory because they're building. And a lot like drag racing, you know, it's about people. In fact, I've suffered from not having the best people. Now we're turning the corner, but you have to, just like Craig Smith, in fact, a tough act to follow, your previous guest, Craig Smith. What a great guy. But like he said it best, I said it a few times, you know, it's about the people you surround yourself with. And I believe that Coach Gruden is doing that. And some of the moves he's made have not been popular, but they're on their way.
Agreed. I didn't see it happening. And I talked to Bill Romanowski on our podcast this week, Cruz. And I said, look, man, especially after Antonio Brown, I did not see them having a good year at all. But they're right in the hunt. They're 5-4. They got a couple of games that are winnable. And if all of a sudden they've got 7 wins and they're dealing with Kansas City, who knows what happens? Cruz, for those who have not been out to Pomona Raceway for the NHRA Finals, what is that experience like?
Well, you need to check us out. This is our last race. 24 of 24 races ends this weekend, Friday through Sunday. We're about horsepower, Jim. We're the ultimate in speed and power. There's no car or jet that accelerates faster than one of our cars, 0 to 100 in like half a second. And they go 330 miles an hour in a little less than a quarter mile. So think about that. Like one block, out here on one of your streets, just one block to the next light is a quarter mile. So they accelerate like no other. They go faster every year. People ask me all the time, what does it feel like? And I tell them, you know, our human our bodies, we're all equipped with the same computers. We never get used to the speed. I only know what to expect, which calms my nerves a little bit. But every time I get in the car, I make a run down the track, Jim. It's like the first time I feel the acceleration. I'm a little nervous. The fumes from the nitro, makes my eyes water, a lot like horseradish, does with. So it's something you never get used to. But let me tell you, the adrenaline rush I get from it still to this day, I've been driving 30 years now, Jim. It's amazing. That's why we want to get you out at the track. You know, drag racing is a little bit like hockey. It's maybe not the best on television I've heard, but when you go there, it's like no other. People always say, man, I didn't expect this. This is really cool, which brings me to our guest tomorrow. BIC is coming out, supposedly. And he's all talking about wanting to drive my car,
are you gonna let him? I mean, you already put his name on your car.
Oh, yeah,
are you gonna let him drive the car?
We did. You know what? And congrats to BIC winning. Was it 5 smack-offs now, Jim? 2 in a row?
Yes.
Yeah. But I do have to, if I can segue really quick to the smack-off. Every year, I think, Rick and Buffalo, here's the deal. Delivery matters and material matters. And if you can get both of those at the same time, obviously that's what's going to win. But I feel like Rick and Buffalo's material is pretty good, but to me, his delivery, I like that energy of that.
It's a show, man. It's a show.
And I like how he ends the show. I'm out. You know, he kind of does, everything's dramatic, but hey, I got to give it to BIC. I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow, but hey, man, he brings the material. I heard his call yesterday. Was it Matt? He was getting back at Matt. One of the callers, I think it was Matt and Matt from somewhere. And you kind of warned him, hey man, you may not want to go after that guy. He definitely hits on all eight cylinders and he has good takes. So good
Cruz,
for him.
Cruz Pedregon breaking down the smack off field. Very, very well done. So Cruz, what about this season? For those who have not seen, how has this season gone for you?
Well, you know, Jim, we not very well. In football terms, I would say 7-9 season. We missed the playoffs, but you know, like your guest earlier, Utah basketball coach said, it's about the people. And as the owner, I haven't done a very good job at bringing all the pieces. You know, it's much like a football team. You can have a great quarterback and a great coach or a great coordinator, but you have to have all the people, and the people make you look good. And so I feel like we're on our way. We've added some pieces late in the season, some late season team members. And I feel like I'm on the brink of hiring another guy that I think would put us over the top. So really, Jim, it's about the race car. They go fast. They make a lot of noise. But really, there's a strategy involved. Even though we're only racing short period of time on the track, there is a strategy. And there's some guys out there that do it very well. So congrats to the guys that are in the hunt. The Funny Car Championship's up for grabs between Robert Height, Matt Hagen, and Jack Beckman. So the NHRA is going to have a great final event, and we're hoping we can spoil those guys and get the Snap-on Dodge in the winner's circle. But I'm looking forward to it. It's my home. You know, grew up in Chino, so it's kind of like it's a home game for me.
We're talking to Cruz Pedregon. You've got the finals coming up this weekend in Pomona. You know, Cruz, I saw a few days back somebody dropped off some photos of your dad that you had never seen before. Now, you and I have talked about your dad, Frank. He was a legendary driver.
Right.
He passed away when you were just 17. What was it like to see those photos that you had never seen before?
Well, just to put it in perspective, I get through the years, I get a lot of photos and people coming up and they'll show me photos and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I want to act excited because they genuinely want to provide you know, some cool photos of my dad. We were really, really little kids when my dad raced, so we didn't really follow. You know, we didn't know a lot was going on. But the fact that this gentleman in Vegas brought photos I'd never seen before, really, Jim, it brought me to tears because it was a picture of not only the race car my dad drove, but it was a picture of my dad up close, and you know, he had his long hair with his hat on, Pennzoil hat. So it really teared me up a little bit, and I called the guy and thanked him. And you know, it's just when you think you've seen all the photos, you know, back in the day, right now with all the stuff we have going with social media, everybody's face is plastered all over. But back in the day, you know, like sports, all sports, there wasn't a lot of really good pictures of these athletes. In this case, my dad. So it really meant a lot to me. And it just goes to show that there's a lot of old time racers that are still out there rooting us on.
Cruz Pedregon joining us. Great story. Cruz, you're a huge sports fan, obviously. Back in September, Larry Holmes, who was one of my favorites. He used to come on the show all the time, even when he was champ. He came to visit you at Maple Grove Raceway. Is a huge boxing fan. Is a huge fan of Larry Holmes, even if Hawk never heard of him when he called. It's all right, Adam. What was it like to spend time with Larry Holmes? What's he like?
Jim, it was unbelievable. In fact, you want to talk about, I started thinking when Caleb, my team manager, said, hey, man, we can get Larry Holmes out to the track. I'm like, yeah, right, okay. When I saw Larry, I about cried. I'm going to sound like a baby here, Jim, but it was so emotional for me because I remember all those fights, the Mike Weaver fights, the Ken Norton fights. I like yourself, followed the sport. You know, we're all Muhammad Ali fans, and I started paying attention to around the early 80s when Larry was right in the middle of his heavyweight run, you know, like 78
7 years
beat Ken Norton for the title. And so, you know, and so I was right in the middle of that, and I always liked Larry because he never really got that. He was like after Muhammad Ali, so everybody felt like he's trying to be a Muhammad Ali.
100%.
And so I always felt like he was undefeated. I remember Don King used to always, you know, 35-0, Larry Holmes 35, you know. And I remember Howard Cosell, I even told Larry, I was like, hey, you remember when Howard Cosell interrupted Don King so he can let you, because he wasn't letting you talk. So, but to meet Larry there, you know, Jim, he just had a birthday, 70 years old. He looked really good for his age. Obviously the career he had, getting hit in the head like he has, and all the you know, the downside that comes with that, but he looked great. He's a big man. He's a big guy.
Yeah, he is.
He kind of jokes around. He's kind of throwing his jab out there a little bit, but what an honor to have him out there. A great sport icon like that to come to our event. I really appreciated him being there, and it really meant a lot.
No, I'm glad that he came out, and you're right. He didn't get the respect that he deserved because he followed Muhammad Ali. I mean, the guy was the heavyweight champion of the world for like 7 years. He had that amazing jab. He had that great personality. And I loved him. I loved talking to him back then. So, Cruz, you got a big weekend coming up. You're back home. Have the clones been hitting you up now that you're in Pomona? What's it been like this week?
Oh, yeah, it's been great. Jimmy, every time I come on your show, you know, we get lots of love throughout the country, and we travel, you know, I don't know how many states. We're all over the place, but clones are alive and well in all the different states. So, yeah, this time it's a homecoming for us. And really for us is a little less pressure because it's the last race of the year, but we really want to do well. Man, it sucks getting beat first round like we have been. But, you know, I always say this, Jim, the champions rise. I've been a champion before. I know what it feels like. I feel like Snap-on and Mopar, everybody's sticking behind me. They leave me alone. They let me do my thing. They know that we'll rise again. And so, but yeah, it'll be great to have the clones out there rooting us on. And I'm really looking forward to BIC coming out there because at first we first talked about that. Remember, he took a shot at me. Oh man, you know,
pull that out, Alvin, to see if you have that.
Three seconds. What can you, you know? So, but to have him out here, you know, for me, he's a celebrity to me, Jim, and it's a great honor. It's great that you do this. In fact, I heard you say that it might be the last one a couple times.
The smack off. Sometimes, man.
Come like, on,
you
want
better to leave them wanting a little more. Like you don't want to be the athlete, Cruz, that stays around too long. So sometimes I think about that. I'm not messing with people. I'm not jerking with anybody. Sometimes it seems to me if we walk out on something amazing, that might be best. But then it's so good. And how do you not bring it back?
It's so good, and you do it once a year, Jimmy. Do it in the middle of the year, and I look forward to it. It's gaining momentum, so just hang in there with us another 15 or 20 years, Jim, on that with the smack off.
You know, I'll do that, Cruz. Listen, one last thought about something technical. You recently talked about dealing with some mechanical issues in the piston department. What kind of an impact can that have on your performance?
Well, the parts are not created equal. You put these engines together, and if they don't work properly, you really need to look at them. And the pistons are in the line of fire. They're the ones that are taking all the compression and all the fuel. So we had a piston that we felt didn't suit our particular setup. Not to say there's anything wrong with the piston or that company, but it just happened to be something that plagued us throughout the summer. And we didn't really figure it out until like a month ago. So the car's running good now. I want everybody to know that, hey, our Snap-on car's ready to win. We're fired up. We think we did run 329 miles an hour. Our first, we're knocking on the door at 330 the other day in Dallas. So we feel like we figured that out, but it's something that it was kind of like, it's kind of one of those things where there's no easy fix because we start doing things. Well, maybe it's the fuel system. Well, maybe it's this. Maybe. So by the time we figured it out, 10, 11 races had gone by. So, you know, so that's kind of been the season. But, hey, no excuses. There's some good cars out there. We've had some good ups and downs. But I feel like we brought some good people in. We're going to get better, and we'll be ready for Pomona 2020.
All right, so Auto Club NHRA Finals, November 14th through the 17th, right here in Pomona. The fastest man in the jungle, Cruz, put those on real quick. You mentioned that you and Brad have kind of gone up and down a little bit. The BIC, I could tell how much respect you have for him. When you said that you guys have kind of gone up and down a little bit, you were talking about this. This is what Brad said when you offered to put his name on your car if you won the smack off.
Hey, shout out to Cruz Pedregon for volunteering to put the smack off winner's name on his race car for one race. Cruz, I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth here, but dude, this ain't the Indy 500, man. You race NHRA drag cars that last for like 5 seconds. The only thing quicker than that with less publicity would be if Vic in NoCal volunteers to shout out the winner's name the next time he has sex. Brad, Brady Corona!
This guy, why would you want to see this guy in Pomona? The BIC, there's nobody like him. Is he amazing, right?
No, it was good. You know, and we actually put it on there
Brad,
anyway.
Brady Corona!
Yeah. poor Vic. But no, you know, we honored our deal. We put him on there.
It was great, too.
And you know, and it kind of grew some legs, and we followed each other on social. So no, and you know, for Brad to come out here to really see what it's like, I want to know what he truly feels about NHRA drag racing after he attends our event. Good, bad, or indifferent. I want to hear it, Brad.
He will tell you. All right. He is the owner and the driver of the Snap-on Tools Nitro Funny Car, a 2-time NHRA Funny Car World Champion. Of course, the fastest man in the jungle. He is at heart a clone, Cruz Pedregon. Cruz, have an amazing weekend. Good luck. I know you represent well, and it's good to have you back on the show.
Hey, Jim, and congrats on your Hall of Fame. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Cruz.
Thank
you. I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Cruz Pedregon doing what he does in studio. All right, let's break. We will come back. I've got an open segment, top of the hour. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us as well. Phone lines are open. Brad and Corona. BIC. Time now for a sports update. Here it is. Rich Ackerman's got this one. How about those three interviews? Indiana head football coach Tom Allen. Utah State head basketball coach Craig Smith. Clone Cruz Pedregon. A really fast clone. A two-time world champion clone. Daniel Jeremiah coming up. So I got to run right through this. So let's get right to it. Bill Romanowski is my guest for Ep 104 of the Jim Rome podcast. Romo crushed it with a freaking truck stick. Amazing energy, insight, stories, anecdotes. This guy, a grip of you, have wanted to hear for a while now, finally got that shot. And let me just say, Romo, what he put on tape was worth the two-year wait. If you've listened to The Jungle for any number of years, you know Romo and I go way back. You also know that nobody understands go time like Romo. Nobody shows up and shows out. I mean, I know it's kind of a well-worn phrase, but it's true. Nobody shows up and shows out like Romo. He's all in, all the time, and yesterday's session was no different. My man was shot out of a cannon. We talked about both his former Bay Area teams. We talked about how high the ceiling is for the 49ers and the Raiders. In fact, speaking of the Raiders, I want to play back his comments on what happened with Antonio Brown. Because Romo spent some time with Antonio Brown during training camp. He's got some specific insight and firsthand knowledge of that situation and what Brown was thinking at that time.
Well, I worked with him a little bit this offseason. Then all that stuff went down, and I'm like, what is going on with this guy? Because I tried to talk sense into him, and I said, put this behind you and go out there and play football. You got a great situation in here, and you are going to be the star of this team. And it was like I was talking to a wall. He had made up his decision, and then the whole New England thing happened. I don't know if I've ever seen something go downhill that fast with a guy that had a guarantee of $30 million effing dollars, and he completely screwed it up.
So I said, Romo, if you had to guess exactly what is this guy's problem, Romo says he thinks that Brown just stopped respecting the game that had done so much for him.
How about just being able to play the game of football? I mean, I'd give my right arm to be able to go run down on one more kickoff and play one more defensive snap. I'd give anything for that. And this guy was like, eh. It's almost like he didn't respect and care about this special game. He was abandoned by his mom and his dad. The guy does not trust anybody. With that being said, football got him out of basically living on the streets. And it gave him an identity. It gave him a life. It made him a multi-millionaire. It turned him into somebody. And I think down the road, he started just losing track to how special the game is. Something was not connecting the elevator to the top floor, and he basically screwed this whole thing up.
Back to what Romo said. Does it surprise anybody at all that Romo would give anything, even his arm, for just one more down? Just one more time to run down on a kickoff? I mean, hell, the guy looks like he still could. And he doesn't understand how everybody, including Antonio Brown, does not love the game the same way, does not respect the game the same way. Like, Brown may have had it at one point, but clearly Romo thinks that he lost it and himself somewhere along the way. Now, it's no secret that Romo played the game at a different level than almost anybody who's ever done it. He suffered multiple concussions that he knows about, and probably several more that he doesn't. And those concussions led to some terrifying episodes that he laid out in harrowing detail on the podcast yesterday.
We played the Minnesota Vikings in the preseason, and they kicked our ass. Well, 2 days later in practice, our coaches put us in full pads. We had one of the most physical practices, and after that practice, I remember leaving the Raider facility, and my home was about 10 minutes from
the facility, and I literally did not know where my house was. But what I did is I just kind of kept driving around, and eventually it came to me. A 10-minute drive turned into a half-hour drive. A lot of these issues and things were happening to me on a regular basis, Jim. I'd have my car keys in my hand. I'd be in my car, and I'd be like, mother effer, where the hell are my car keys? And they're in my hand. I had to fill out this form, and there was a box where you check male and female. And, Jim, I literally had 2-3 seconds, had to think about it. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? I had to think about that? And that was probably more alarming to me, although it was 3 seconds. Had to think about that? Are you effing kidding me?
Bill Romanowski, I mean, really scary events. Forgetting where your house is, looking everywhere for your keys when they're in your hand, not knowing what box to check when you're being asked to identify your gender. I mean, hearing about that is scary as hell. But Romo lived it, and he'd be the first to tell you that the sport of football is not good for you, but that if he could do it all over again, he would in a heartbeat.
Flying around with a helmet on, playing the game of football at 37 years of age and doing it for 27 years from the time I was 10 years old is not good for your brain. And there's nothing I'd rather do again and again and again. I don't do drugs, but I tell you what, to me, playing the game of football was my heroin. Football was my crack.
Football was his heroin. Football was his crack. And given what he put into it and what the game still means to him, I figured that he might have struggled mightily when it all ended. But I was wrong. Like, he exchanged that mission for another. He's still a killer. Just a different kind now. He's running his company, his own company, Nutrition 53. Still looking for ways to get an edge physically and mentally. Still looking for ways to spread the gospel and share the message. I understand Romo is not for everybody. I believe this guy when he says that he really does want everyone to feel their best, and he's willing to share what he's learned. Now, you might want to come in here and say, come on, man. Rome, that was the dirtiest mother bleeper ever to rock a pair of pads. You might say that, and that's fine. I'm not going to talk you out of that point. Hell, Romo probably wouldn't try to talk you out of that point. I know this about Romo, and he made this clear in the podcast. He's not proud of everything he's done. He owns that. He does have regrets about some of what he did, and he's open about that. He did use performance enhancers, like a lot of other guys, and I'm not sweeping that under the rug. But the one thing that he will tell you, and I do not disagree with, find me another athlete in any sport who wanted it worse, who got more out of what they had or she had than Romo. I'm not sure you can. On a lighter note, really quickly, I had to tie two worlds together and ask him about my former teammate and my former podcast teammate, Trevor Price. Like, Trevor's a different dude, right? I didn't know how he'd answer, but I said, Romo, you played with Trevor. What are your takes on Trevor?
Trevor Price was probably the only guy that I've ever played with that when he first got to the Denver Broncos, I looked at him, watched him play, and said, this might be the worst first-round pick ever in the history of the NFL. John Terlink screamed at him every day for a year, and somehow, some way, he turned into a dominant player. I truly believe this. If a guy can't play, I don't care how hard he works, how much weight he lifts in the weight room, he can't play. I looked at Trevor Price and I said, this guy can't play. And literally, he became tough. And a guy, when he got good, he's a guy you wanted on your side of the ball because he was a mother.
Romo, I honestly had no idea how he was going to answer the question. I really didn't. He said he was the worst effing first round pick in the history of the NFL. But he said, man, he got good. And when he got good, he was a mother bleeper. There was an hour of Romo doing that. It is one of the best podcasts we've ever done. And can I tell you how much that is saying so much, because Romo has done this show so many times over the past decade or so. For him to live up to that and do nearly an hour was incredible. Check it out after the show or on the weekend on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, JimRome.com. Use the link pinned at the top of my Twitter feed right now. You waited 2 years for it. Go get it. Romo was amazing. Bill Romanowski. When we come back, Daniel Jeremiah. None better than DJ. He's next.